prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution, where faith and reason can coexist together. I'm Dave. And with me is Jeff, pastor of Revolution Church.
We're going to have some faith and reason meet this morning.
Yeah.
It's good to be here in the KSAL studios. And we are talking about God's timelessness.
Right. Smack dab in the middle of a series of God's attributes.
Yeah. And we're talking about what is eternity? What is timelessness? Mm-hmm. Is God inside of time? Is he outside of time? How does that work?
Oh, this is going to be fun.
It's a good one. And I suppose we got some questions as well, mm-hmm. as usual. And we'll do a Bible contradiction here in a little bit. So, Dave, when you think of eternity, what do you think of?
I think of forever past and forever future. I know that's really simple, but that's how I view
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think we're getting smacked in the face.
Why?
Okay, I was camping one time, and we had to break some branches to create some firewood. And so I found this really long branch, and instead of just breaking it, I leaned it against a tree, and I jumped up on it. And, of course, the top part snaps,
mm-hmm.
and it comes flying up and smacks me right in the face, cuts my face.
All right. Now, how is this eternity for you?
Well, we loved camping, and where we were was in Sequoia Forest.
Uh-huh.
And those sequoia trees, have you ever seen those sequoia trees?
No.
They are, if any of the listeners have ever seen these things, they are crazy huge. Some of them are 3,500 years old or more.
Is that the Redwood Forest?
Well, it's the Sequoia National Forest in California.
All right.
And so, I mean, some of these things started growing 1800 BC. I mean, that might be when Abraham was alive, way before Jesus was on Earth.
So you were breaking a 3,000-year-old tree?
Just a branch that had fallen off. And the branch was probably barely 1,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
It was dead. It was on the ground. You can legally do that.
Okay.
I wasn't breaking any laws. If it's dead, you can take care of it.
Well, I was going to get ready to barricade the door. So,
so I was not chopping down 3,500-year-old trees. But, I mean, that's a long time ago. You try to imagine, you know, what happened 100 years ago, and that mm-hmm. seems like a long time. I read a story about the oldest lady living right now.
Uh-huh.
She was born in the 1800s.
I know, it's crazy.
That's weird. I can't really comprehend that.
Yeah.
But these trees, 3,500 years, even the ones that are 2,000 years old, these trees were here when Jesus walked the earth.
Right.
Now, comprehending eternity, it's completely impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing we can do about eternity is try to imagine it and know it's beyond our imagination.
Right.
That's the best we can do. So, we try to imagine a 2,000-year-old tree, 3,500-year-old tree, can't even do that. We can barely explain how old the trees are. Now, eternity can't be explained in terms of time. This
right.
is what's the most interesting about eternity, because it's more than time. Eternity is before time, but it's also after time, even though that doesn't really seem to make sense for us.
I see where you're going here, I think.
Yeah, okay. Psalm 90 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. And we've read this verse here before. God has the attribute of being eternal. God is everlasting. Before the mountains are born, before he formed the world, from everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Time does not limit God in any way.
So basically, outside of our universe, your Timex stops ticking.
Yes.
Something like that.
That's right. Or outside our dimension.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where exactly time stops.
Right.
But outside our timeline, time does not have meaning in the way it does right here.
Right.
The writer of Psalms 90 starts with before the mountains. Well, I started with sequoia trees. He's just giving an analogy,
uh-huh.
right? Before God brought forth the earth, what was before that?
There really wasn't
well,
anything.
Yeah, his
was
point
it?
Was nothing, right? Yeah. I mean, before this earth that we lived on, his point wasn't to give a cosmological history.
Right.
Like, we know that some of the galaxies started to coalesce before the earth was formed. Mm-hmm. But the writer of this proverb is just saying, hey, look, before the earth was formed, God was here. Well, the point is, before this sphere that we even lived on,
right.
God was here. The point is, from everlasting, what he says next, from everlasting to everlasting, your God. Now, the word everlasting in Hebrew literally means vanishing point. From one vanishing point all the way to the other vanishing point, all the way in the past, all the way in the future, from that point to that point, God's beyond it. He is the everlasting God. Now, in this word, it just means you look until you see and it's all gone. It just disappears. Right. The root word means that which is hidden.
Over the horizon.
Gone. You can't see it. You have no idea how far away it is. And the writer is trying to describe the nature of God. From one hidden vanishing point, he existed, to another hidden vanishing point. And try to comprehend how long God has existed. Before the trees, before the mountains, before the earth, until it all vanishes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then go the other direction until it's all ceased to exist, until it all vanishes again. I mean, that's all we can comprehend. That's all of time. And hopefully, if you're trying to think of it, your brain just melted.
Well, do you think we'll ever be able to comprehend that?
I don't think so.
I mean, do you think our minds will still be our minds will still be finite once all this has passed away and the new earth is here?
When we're, like, in heaven, mm-hmm, or in the new earth?
Right.
Yeah, we'll still have finite minds. We aren't going to be all-knowing like God is.
Right.
Okay. So this is one thing about heaven that's kind of neat to get off the subject. God is infinitely in himself deep. I mean, we're pretty deep. It takes a long time, right, to get to know someone inside and out. But God is infinitely deep. It'll take us forever to explore the depths of God.
Right.
It will take us a long, 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 long time to explore the depths of his universe. And supposing we could explore every single depth of this universe, God could design another one for us to explore.
Mm-hmm.
If we knew everything, we would have the mind of God, and we don't, and we won't have the mind of God. We're still human, even in heaven. And so there'll be things for us to explore and learn, and theoretically, there's probably going to be better things to do than this, but let's just, for fun, say, theoretically, in heaven, God will allow us to create and explore scientifically, go to the moon, build things and go to Mars, build ships and try to find other planets. And, I mean, God will, these are things that we can do and explore, and we'll never get done exploring God's creation.
Where's my cloud and harp?
Don't get me started on that, man. There are no cloud harps players in heaven.
Okay.
Unless there's some angelic being, you're not going to...
Yeah, I've had someone tell me, it's like, you know, the whole sitting on a cloud and playing your harp thing, that's going to be really boring. I don't think I want to do that.
It would be boring.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just... Yeah. We're not going to be sitting in clouds playing harps. We're going to be exploring the depths of God, exploring the depths of our universe.
All right. Since we have a little break here, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. This Bible contradiction brought to you today by infidels.org.
You say it like they're sponsoring our show or something.
They might as well be, right? They give us so much good material.
I think that website would not be happy to know that we
it's
act
awesome.
Like they sponsor us.
All right. This is a Bible contradiction that's entitled...
Our show is sponsored by people who disagree with us completely.
This Bible contradiction is titled Good Deeds. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
Okay.
However, one chapter later, in Matthew 6:3-4, it says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret."
Okay.
Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
So, I gotcha.
Yeah, the first part says, do it before everybody.
Let them see
says,
it.
Yep.
Hide it.
Yeah, hide it.
Okay, which one is it? Okay, hey, will you read that first one again? Because there's an important word here that I'd like to point out.
All right. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
Whoa! What? What was that last part?
Praise your Father
praise
in
your
heaven.
Father in heaven. Okay, what Jesus is doing here is he's trying to divide the hypocrites from the true followers of God.
Okay.
What you had going on when he was telling you to give to the poor in private, you had people go into the temple and they would take up these bags of money and blow trumpets and be like, "Look what I'm doing!" Literally, this is what they would do. And they'd throw the money in the offering buckets and talk, and everybody would be like, "Oh, that was wonderful!" And like,
is that how basketball got started?
It was yes. It was disgusting. Really, these people were giving for their own purpose, just for selfish reasons, so people would think they were awesome. That's why they were giving. And Jesus says, "Don't do that. If you want to give to the poor, do it in secret. All right?
Okay.
Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." He says sometimes. So
okay.
But then he says, if you're going to do good deeds, you can let your light shine. Why? So that you may glorify God.
Okay.
It's not so that you look awesome.
Right.
But that's so God has honor.
Okay.
So if you're going to go out there and you're going to help an orphan, you don't necessarily, you know, secretly just go up and, you know, all of a sudden show up at a store and buy an orphan's purchases and run away. And not.
Right.
You can do things for this orphan that they know who you are, but you have to do it in a way that honors God so that they know you're helping them because of who God is.
Okay, so basically this first passage can basically say, let your life honor God. And then the second one be, let your life not honor yourself.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to.
Gotcha.
And that's the answer for Bible Contradiction today.
Bible Contradiction.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so we're talking about from vanishing point to vanishing point. God has existed throughout all eternity. Now, there are dozens of Bible verses trying to describe God's eternal nature. When I talk about this sometimes in person, I get a towel and I get it soaking wet.
Okay.
And I start wringing the towel out. And it's as if the Hebrew and Greek has just wrung out everything they can in their vocabulary to describe God's eternity. There's no other words that they could use to describe God being before time or after time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from vanishing point to vanishing point is as deep and as complicated a phrase as you can get. We are limited. Everything we do is inside of time. We cannot redo time. We cannot see ahead. Now, Elihu in the book of Job says, how great is God? Beyond understanding, the number of his years is past finding out. Oh, I love that one. The number of his years is past finding out. That, you know, actually, it kind of sounds like when you're an old person's having a birthday and you're trying to figure out how old they are, and they're not going to tell you. But this is beyond that. Like, a deliberate investigation cannot reveal the number of years. Why? Oh, because the number of his years is even a misnomer. God's years aren't numbered. God has no years. There's no such thing as a year for God.
Well, would you say that God's years are actually limited to however many years has been when creation started and creation ends?
No.
And then beyond that?
Well, yes, but you did say...
Right, because but there's no years beyond either side of those.
Right.
So, I mean...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, we can measure the years, but it still goes beyond that.
Right, yes, that's exactly right. We can measure the years, but it goes beyond
right.
that. That's right. That's a really good way to put it. God, he has no beginning. I mean, think about when you were born and what it would be like if you were never born. Our concept is, then I wouldn't be if I
right.
wasn't born. Without birth, I have no existence. Well, God's different. Existence is part of God's nature apart from any beginning. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
God didn't begin to be. He was.
Mm-hmm.
People all the time, they'll say, well, where did God come from? Well, because they think nothing can produce something. I
right.
mean, God had to come from somewhere, but God always was.
Yeah.
He didn't have a beginning, and so he doesn't need to have come from anywhere.
Yeah. When I was a child, this was my I think I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and it was like, okay, if God created everything, where did God come from? And
right.
it really kind of blew my mind.
It is one of these crazy things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the situation. And a lot of times people think, well, that's not a real answer. But it is a real answer. You
mm-hmm.
have to spend some time thinking or meditating on this. When something doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't need a cause.
Right.
If you didn't begin, nothing had to cause you to begin. God doesn't have a beginning, so nothing had to cause God.
Right.
He just was.
You and I had a beginning, so therefore something had to cause you and I.
That's right. And now, actually, you know, Lou, using this logic, you can prove God exists, which we're going to do a little bit later, hopefully, if we have time. Of course, coming back on this break, we have a question, a couple questions,
mm-hmm.
I think. So we're going to try to hit those questions, and we're going to continue to talk about the nature of God and eternity. Hey, Dave, what's our website?
It is www.truthrevolution.tv. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, truthrevolution.tv.
Do you think you forgot it?
Yeah, I thought I forgot it.
No, it's truthrevolution.tv. So I want to encourage everybody to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Give us questions, and you can even donate and help us keep it on the air.
And we would love to hear from you. We like to know that people are listening to the show, so go
we,
there.
We like to know that we're actually affecting people's lives.
That's right. For good or bad, send us some love mail or some hate mail. I don't really care
mm-hmm.
either way. So we just want to hear from you. TruthRevolution.tv. Also, check out Revolution Church. We're starting at 10:15 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
See you on the other side of this break.
And we are back. Woo! Revolution. We're discussing
God's eternity
as attributes,
timelessness.
Right. It's awesome.
Yeah. From vanishing point to vanishing point, God is God. Always right. was. Doesn't need a beginning.
And will never end.
Yeah. And probably goes to truthrevolution.tv, which you should too.
Do you think he actually surfs the websites? Or does he see them all at the same time?
Yes.
He does.
All right. That was terrible. Why'd I say that? TruthRevolution.tv.
Because you're silly.
All right.
All right. We get questions every now and again from listeners and people that that listen to our show. I guess those would be listeners. Today we got a couple questions, and today I wanted to highlight one of these right now. You have a situation. Say you're dating a girl. Say you're a guy and you're dating a girl.
Okay.
And her parents totally disagree. Not that I've ever been there, but her parents totally disagree. The question, what can we determine that we are to do according to the Bible? If you're dating a girl and her parents disagree.
I'm assuming they mean that your parents disagree with her dating you.
Probably.
Number one.
Can I get some Jeopardy music, please?
According to the Bible? Well, the Bible talks about taking advice and not taking ourselves too seriously. And one in Proverbs, it talks about listening to counsel and wisdom. And if a girl's parents did not want her to date me, I would seriously take that as counsel I needed to pay attention to.
Right.
Maybe
there was something that you're doing that's not good.
Yeah. Maybe why don't they want me to date her?
Right.
There's got to be some. Not. I mean, there's an 80% chance you're doing something that the parents really don't want you to do. You're living in a way that they're not proud of. That they don't want their daughter around or something. So you really need to check that.
Yeah.
You need. I would go to them. Jesus says someone sins against you, to go to them. It's always good practice to go to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to them and say, have I wronged you? Have I wronged her? Am I doing something wrong? I need to know so that I can do what's better.
Right.
Also, the Bible says that a man should leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The thought there is that children are under their parents' authority until they're married.
Right.
And so if the parents were really adamantly against you getting married or dating, you better be careful because she's disobeying her parents
right.
by being with you. And I don't think that's honoring to God either.
Okay. So I've never been married, and I just turned 45.
Right.
Does that mean I'm still subject to my mom?
Well, no.
Okay.
Not in the same way. I mean, there is such thing as adult children.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you started dating someone and your mom really disapproved, I would still say that you need to take that as a serious indicator of your relationship.
Right. And as young people, we really, when you're dating and you're young like that, you really don't take into account that maybe you can go talk to them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, some people are a little leery about talking to somebody's parents because I don't want to be in that kind of, you know, the situation.
That's right. But I think the main thing is the Bible, for the most part, sees people as under the parents' authority mm-hmm. until they're married. And so even if you're older, you may not be under your parents' authority in the same way. But if your parents disagree with someone you're dating, you really need to be careful with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would be my answer there. So.
All right.
And we got another one, I think. But let's just do a little bit of this show that we're doing here today, too. Just kidding. All right. Let's just talk about God's eternal nature, right? Time does not limit God's knowledge or his passion about events in time. Because it'd be easy for us to say, oh, well, God's eternal, and this is just time, and it's limited, it's short. It's just like a really quick thing to God.
Right.
But it's not. I mean, God knows everything. That's why prophets can exist, because God tells them what's going to happen. But if God speaks to man, he's interested in what's happening right now
mm-hmm.
for our sake. I mean, God has no past, so all events are current to God.
Right.
This is kind of neat if you think about it. Think about and let your head kind of earthquake at this thought. We have a past. Each of the words you hear from my voice are now in the past.
Right.
I say them, you hear them, they're gone. But God is no such thing. There is no was for God. He does not say, oh, I did that back then.
Right.
In his perspective, everything is right now. God has no future. It's right now because he knows what's going to happen. God's not anticipating events. The year 2013 or 3013 are no more in the future than 800 BC to God.
Right. That is kind of crazy to think about.
eternity is often compared to a rock and a river. You know, time moves on, but eternity stays.
Mm-hmm.
The river flows over the rock, but it's I think that's inadequate. It implies that something can pass over the timeless God, but the eternal God has no water that's rushed past him. You know, time runs inside of God's presence. He views time, past, present, future, as pieces of snow in a snow globe, totally enclosed. I think that's how time seems to God.
Yeah, that is mind-blowing. The one thing that I thought about looking at of it as is God has a globe mm-hmm. in front of him, and he can see all sides, and he can see around it, and it's like glass, and he can see through it, and he can see it all right there, from the beginning on his left hand to the end on his right hand. He sees it all, and it's all compact right there in front of him.
Yeah, and he sees it all equally vivid.
Mm-hmm.
Our memories fade as we get further away. The present's always more vivid than the past. But you know how smell can bring back a memory of your
yes.
grandmother's house?
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden, oh, man, you're back in grandma's kitchen at Christmas when she cooks that mm-hmm. crazy goose that she always burned, and there's cookies going on at the same time. And you just get that smell, and you can hear your aunt yelling in the background. Right. And, you know, it takes you back to that moment.
Yep. Ah, nostalgia.
Since God is timeless, every event is equally vivid all the time to God. We would be overwhelmed with this sense, but God understands it. It's, mm-hmm. it's just nature to him. All events from millions and billions of years ago to today, to thousands or millions of years from now, God sees it.
Right.
2 Peter 3:8 says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like today, like a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't mean, okay, we've had one day, therefore God has passed 1,000 years.
Right. There's been a ton of discussion about that, too.
Yeah, no, that's not what it means. It's 1,000 is just trying to show everything. It's
right.
It's full. It's complete. I mean, for instance, the Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That doesn't mean on 1,001st hill, God doesn't own those cattle.
Right.
It means he owns them all, right? Here.
Right.
So a day is like 1,000 years. It just means time is meaningless to God.
Mm-hmm.
One day, 1,000 years, doesn't matter. It's all the same to God. But the purpose of this is to show how all time is equally vivid. God is here. He was in the past. He's in the future. He's all there. Jesus is crucified right now.
Right. In God's perspective.
In God's perspective.
Right.
The flood, right now. Armageddon, right now. God sees it all.
Right. I often tell people ask me, well, why doesn't God do something about the problem of sin that we have? And it's like, God already has.
That's right.
And in God's viewpoint, it's been fixed.
That's an excellent answer. Because he has finished it. He's fixed that problem. We are waiting. God is not.
Right.
God's already solved that problem.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us he's going to solve the problem in the Bible. And so right. we know he's already done it. Otherwise, he would know he hadn't.
Right.
So, yeah. Do you want to take we're at a small break here.
Okay.
And then we're going to get to some practical things.
All right. We'll take this question real quick.
Yeah.
This question goes this way. I heard Jeff say he believed in speaking in tongues.
Okay.
Speaking in tongues never made sense to me because one can't understand what the person is saying. Why would God give someone the gift of speaking in tongues if nobody can understand what they are saying?
Okay, I'm going to pull up my Bible here.
Okay. That's usually a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I have said that I believe in speaking in tongues. Now, you have to understand, when I say that I believe in speaking in tongues, I don't necessarily am endorsing or disagreeing with the types of tongues that we think of when people right. are speaking.
Mm-hmm. You don't agree with all the ways that is carried out.
I don't know if I don't want to agree or disagree. I don't
right.
want to endorse or not endorse what some people would say is gibberish,
mm-hmm.
where people are in a church and they're just spouting stuff and no one understands it.
It's really not for us to judge.
Some people say that's a language from the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to fully disagree with that,
mm-hmm.
But I will endorse this for absolute certainty. In Acts 2, the people there receive the gift of tongues, and they start preaching, and then people who don't know God are able to hear this preaching in any language that they speak.
Okay.
So the people from Italy hear Peter speaking in Italian. The people who are Greeks hear Peter speaking in Greek. That is speaking in tongues.
Right.
They suddenly can hear what you're saying in their own native language.
Right. But along with the gift of tongues, there's also the gift of interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the passage, but that goes along saying the Holy Spirit was in both of those.
Yeah.
In the talking and in the interpreting.
That is absolutely
interpreting.
Right. Interpreting. Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm not going to say we need to give a full biblical teaching on this.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to base everything on experience. But, you know, I do know of a time where there was a church where the Bible says that tongues is for non-believers. And we don't always understand that. There was a church where a man stood up and started speaking in tongues, and some of the believers around said, "What's he talking? He's just talking gibberish." There was a young man there who was not a Christian, whom I know, who said, "What do you mean? He was talking gibberish. I could understand. I'm perfectly clear." And
yeah.
So, you know, we don't want to limit God.
Right.
But anyway, to understand this fully, we need to do a full biblical
right.
study on this, which we're not doing today because we're talking about God's eternity. So tongues can be used and has been used by God in the past, but I don't want to endorse anything that's not biblical. If there's going to be tongues, there needs to be an interpreter, as the Bible says.
All right. So let's get back to God's eternity.
Real practical. God knows the future, so he knows what he's going to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You don't have to worry about anything. God knows exactly where he's taking you because he's already seen your tomorrow. In fact, God is there right now. He's taking care of you right now. We only have a choice. Follow the timeless God or reject him, as mm-hmm. though he doesn't know what's going on. Second thing, good perspective to have. My life is short compared to where I'll spend eternity.
Oh, amen.
We'll always find time to waste our time, but we rarely find time to do what's right with our time, to do what we need to do with our time. It's easy to sleep in, not go to church. It's easy to skip the Bible study. It's easy to not spend time in prayer. It's really easy to just go out and have fun. I love fun. I want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more important to get to know God and be prepared for eternity, because eternity is a really, 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 really stinking long time.
And it's not even that. It's way beyond that.
It's way beyond that. And we're going to, I guess we can't say we're going to heaven or hell for eternity, but for everlasting
uh-huh.
time.
Right.
We're going to be there forever. We act like these 80 years that we live are the most important thing ever. But they're not!
Yeah, it's not even a drop in the bucket.
It's not even a drop in the bucket. You're going to live for a million years in heaven or hell. You are going to have rewards in heaven based on how you lived here.
Just a million?
Billions? Trillions? Risk your life for God. If you lose your life for God, you have just
crossed the finish line.
Crossed the finish line,
yeah.
And you have a great eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Risk your finances for God. Risk your reputation for God. Why not? 80 years is nothing. 8 months is nothing. Eternity is forever. So this is my encouragement. It's a long time. It's kind of mind-boggling to think of, but anything we do for God here is not a waste.
Right.
Hey, go to truthrevolution.tv and learn about God. Come to Revolution Church this morning. Wear what you're wearing right now, unless you're not wearing anything. Just come right on down.
We've even had people show up in their pajamas.
We have. I'd wear jeans and just a normal shirt. I'm
mm-hmm.
the preacher. So
right.
Come on over. Revolution Church this morning, 10:15 a.m. truthrevolution.tv.
Check us out.